Shalom, Australia. Three rockets were fired at southern Israel on Friday afternoon. Two of them were intercepted by the Iron Dome missile defense system, while the third struck near a building in a community in the area, causing damage. The launches were directed towards the area where the ceremony was being held at Kibbutz Kfar Aza, overlooking the place where Staff Sergeant Aron Shaul was killed in the 2014 Gaza War. Far from bomb shelters, members of the audience took cover on the grass, lying on the ground with their hands over their heads. In a statement, Zionist Union leader Avi Gabay, who attended the event, said he was filled with pride that the ceremony went forward afterwards despite the attack. Shortly after the rocket barrage, the Israel Defense Forces retaliated by attacking two Hamas positions with tank shelling and strikes from aircraft. Thousands of Palestinian demonstrators along the Gaza Strip's border and in the West Bank on Friday afternoon after the rocket attacks and retaliation, with demonstrators hurling rocks at Israeli security forces and in some instances attempting to damage the border fence. The Palestinian Health Ministry said at least 16 people were wounded when Israeli troops fired rubber-coated rounds and live bullets during the demonstrations. Yesterday, Gabay criticized Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for his handling of the sporadic rocket fire from the Gaza Strip, saying Netanyahu was silent on the issue and it represents a failure of the government to deal with the problem. Gabay has in recent weeks been called on Netanyahu to take stronger action on Gaza, accusing him of being weak. However, former Defense Minister Moshe Yaalon, a fierce Netanyahu critic, urged caution, saying the next round of conflict with Hamas should be delayed as long as possible. According to Israeli assessments, the rockets are not being launched by Hamas, which controls the Gaza Strip, but by other terrorist organizations there. However, analysts have noted that Hamas has been either unwilling or unable to clamp down on the groups, as it has in the past. Clashes broke out between Palestinians and IDF troops outside the tomb of Yoshua bin Nun in the northern West Bank early on Thursday morning as the army was securing the holy site in the village of Kfar Haris, northwest of Ariel, for Jewish worshippers on the fast of Tevet. Palestinians began hurling stones and Molotov cocktails at them. There were no reports of injuries. The Knesset early on Thursday morning voted the Police Recommendations Bill into law after a filibuster by the opposition that paralysed the Knesset for 2 days. The controversial legislation was approved in its second and third readings with 59 lawmakers in favour and 54 opposed. The law prevents police, upon completing their investigations and handing over files to prosecutors, from commenting on whether there is an evidentiary basis for indictment. It will apply only to probes of public officials and other high-profile cases. The law will not apply to open cases, including the ongoing investigation into Prime Minister Netanyahu, a graft probe into former coalition whip David Bitan, and investigations involving Welfare Minister Chaim Katz of Likud and Interior Minister Aryeh Deri of Shas. Proponents argue the police recommendations cause irreparable damage to the suspects' reputations and rarely lead to prosecution. Opposition Isaac Herzog, in his speech wrapping up the filibuster, said the recommendations law is a fight between a culture of democracy and a culture of corruption. This law is not merely a law of shame, but a law of weakness. Opposition Yesh Atid party announced that it would petition the High Court of Justice against the legislation. Knesset Speaker Yuli Edelstein said that if he did so, this would be the last filibuster he allowed. Israel has formally notified UNESCO of its withdrawal from the organization. In a statement, UNESCO Chief Audrey Azoulay said it had been officially notified on Friday that Israel would leave on December the 31st, 2018. She said, "I regret this deeply, as it is my conviction that inside UNESCO and not outside it, that states can best seek to overcome differences in the organization's fields of competence." In order to leave at the same time as the US, at the end of 2018, Israel had to formally hand a letter of intent to Azoulay at least 1 year ahead of time. Israel's envoy to the UNESCO, Kamel Shammah-Cohen, said on Thursday that getting the letter to the organization in time was nearly prevented by security guards who tried to bar his entry. Army Radio has decided to suspend commentator Irit Lenoir after she used her airtime on Tuesday to denounce President Rivlin. On Tuesday, the president praised public protests against alleged government corruption that have taken place weekly, saying they were an important outgrowth of online activism. In her tirade, Leonor said, "The only thing you've been able to do is serve as a junior minister and as a president a national symbol. You call on citizens to go out into the street. You insolent piece of work, who do you think you are?" The station said in a statement, "Irit Leonor's comments on the president were not fitting, nor were the way they were expressed." Leonor will be off the air for 7 days. With Israel halfway through its fifth consecutive winter of depleted rainfall, thousands of Jews assembled on Thursday at the Kotel to pray together for rain. The event was organized by Agricultural Minister Uri Ariel, and prayers were led by the chief rabbis David Lau and Yitzhak Yosef. The country has received just 45% of its multi-year average rainfall for September through November. It's only rained twice in December, and the forecast for the coming days is mostly sun, with only a little light rain in the north. Ariel said, defending the prayers that were held on the 10th of Tevet fast day, "I'm someone who doesn't rely on miracles and does everything I know as agriculture minister to find a solution to water crisis, including drilling for underground water sources in the Golan Heights and the Galil, building additional desalination plants, and conducting agricultural research to create plants that require less water." Hours after landing in Israel on Friday, comedian Jerry Seinfeld was spotted at a well-known falafel eatery. Seinfeld is in Tel Aviv with his family, who are in the country for the first time, and he performed last night. Thousands again took to Rothschild Boulevard last night in protests against government corruption. A summary of the headlines of 2017 shows that the year began as it ended, with investigations into the Prime Minister's conduct and predictions that they will soon be over. February's news was about demolition of illegal settlements and promises to give more settlement approval. In March, former Joint List MK Basil Gratas agreed to resign from the Knesset and serve 2 years in prison. In April, conversation focused on Palestinians' payments to terrorists and their family. May was the month that US President Donald Trump visited Israel. In June, Netanyahu indefinitely froze his agreement to create an egalitarian prayer space at the Kotel. In July, Labour elected Avi Gabay as its leader. 4 days later, terrorists attacked on the Temple Mount, killing two policemen from the Druze community. During the summer, the Prime Minister's son, Yair Netanyahu, was broadly wrapped for spreading tasteless social media postings. October brought the total of people who resigned from the 20th Knesset to a record number of 15. In November, when then-Health Minister ultra-Orthodox Yaakov Litzman resigned, Netanyahu came up with a compromise package that allowed Litzman to run the health ministry as deputy minister. In December, US President Donald Trump recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital and vowed to move the US embassy there. This is Peter Jones-Pelach, reporting from Jerusalem on a very happy end of 2017.